Good evening. We will turn in the scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've put in it for us to mine out of it, to live our lives by, to encourage us in this battle, in this present age that we live in. You haven't left us untethered, but instead have given us Christ, his doctrines, his promises, his warnings. And we pray tonight you'd make our hearts soft to these things, willing to listen, willing to grow, help me to speak these words with truth and accuracy in Christ's name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And then verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. This is a very crisp set of five specific commands that Paul gives the Corinthians at the very end of his letter. He's gone through a lot in this letter. Any of you who've read it and are familiar with it, there's sort of a potpourri of warnings and encouragements and dangers that the Corinthians church had gotten into. And I thought, you know, what is it a dad, what illustration would I use? Because this is very pithy, it's very short, and it has five specific commands. What illustration would I give you? And I think of my own two boys when I gave them the car the first time. I said something lame like, have fun and be safe. And the be safe, of course, there's a whole world of things behind that. And I would think that, you know, a father lending a car to his son when I was doing it, both for both my boys, I'm hoping and praying that I had taught him or her about the mechanics of the car a little bit, like don't let it run low on oil or don't over rev it, that kind of thing. How about driving dynamics? And danger comes from every side. It can come from the back. It can come from a side hit. Come from the front. I hope I had taught my boys a little bit about the law, like stay within the speed limit and stop at a stop sign. I hope I'd taught him courtesy, or not. They'd been with me for a long time, 15, 16 years before they ever got behind the wheel, right? So hopefully they'd seen these things demonstrated. And again, I reminded them the danger that comes from every angle. Likewise, Paul to the Corinthians. He's wrapping up this pretty long letter to them. By the time we read these five crisp commands, there's a whole bunch of things behind it. So what we're going to do is go through those five commands, and then we're going to look at what Paul had said, just little snippets, samples. We're not going to go through the whole book, obviously. Little samples of what Paul had said that back up each one of these commands. So what's in here? It's very, again, very practical and crisp commands, easy to memorize and very portable. Front rowers, in fact, all rowers. It's very easy to memorize, and I would go off on a little note here. No one could be more sensitive to these verses. It's been a rough week for me, and I have had trouble plugging this in, even though I've been studying to preach it. So I'm very sensitive to what's being said here too. And hopefully I practice what I preach. It's to provide a layered defense or a defense in depth of your actions and fellowship. It's not just for you individually, but it's for us one another. In fact, if you listen to John this morning preach out of Philippians, many of the same things are going to come out here. So the outline itself, framing the verses, Paul uses terms of conflict and determination to get us started, right? Be awake, be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. I like the old translation, quit yourselves like men. And then be strong and do everything in love. They're related commands, and above all, these little verbal phrases that Paul gives require dependence and derived strength from God. They require you to depend on God and derive your strength when standing firm from God. They're not demanding an autonomous. You could preach this in a floating bubble, right? You could take this verse and say, be alert, be strong, determined, stand firm. But we're going to talk about it in the context of Corinthians. So it's reasonable to ask at the beginning, so what is it? Be alert. But what does that mean? Looking for what? Be alert in what sense? Stand firm. How and on what ground do you stand firm? And then what is it to act like men? And then be strong in what sense? Too often these terms have been misapplied, leaving the believer exposed to spiritual assault. And we foolishly apply often the Elmer Gantry. There's an old movie from the 50s, kind of a bad movie. But the Elmer Gantry style of warfare, it's about an evangelist, kind of a tent evangelist. And he says, tell that old devil to go back where he came from. Bad way to approach it. So the what? I would say that the first four commands in verse 13, we're going to split those up into four pieces, is the what to do, and verse 13. And then verse 14 is the how we do it. It's the motive, it's the engine about how we do the things we do. So the what we must do. First one is the observation and readiness of you as a Christian believer. Be alert. In fact, in reality, you've all read and know about the spiritual armor that you put on in Ephesians 6. The reality is we're very, very exposed to spiritual attack. The way Paul, we're very vulnerable and weak, outgunned and outmaneuvered. Christ warned and prescribed the only remedy, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be alert. Paul tells us we were outgunned in Ephesians 6, right? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against massive powers. And we just finished a William Gurnall book in our little men's group and on that spiritual armor. And it is sobering just how outgunned we are. Because first of all, it's spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare. You cannot see the enemy. How do you fight this? And worse than that, these are principalities and lofty creatures and persons. So Peter provides a great posture in terms of being alert, right? Gird, it's from 1 Peter 1:13, I think it is. Gird your minds for action. Get ready for action. Keep sober in spirit and set your hope completely down the road to the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. And another spot in 1 Peter, which is very helpful. Don't be surprised, because I am often surprised. Are you? When something hits you, blindside in terms of your spiritual warfare, this isn't fair. I don't want to go through this right now. I really wasn't prepared. I'd rather engage in some other sort of thing. But here it is, hitting you in the face or in the side of the head. So don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you for your testing. You didn't ask for it, possibly, but you have it just the same. And you've got to be aware for those attacks coming from all angles. So alertness is required, right, when there's a job to do or if you're engaged in some kind of warfare. You're alert in your duty. This is probably what Paul was talking about, right? Watch for doctrinal error, Corinthians. You people have made some gross error morally in other areas. Watch out for a lack of love. 1 Corinthians 13 is that pinnacle love chapter. Be alert in war. Watch out for prowlers. Watch out for spiritual prowlers coming to take your faith and rob you of your confidence in Christ. So what had Paul been telling him? I'll just give you a couple snippets in terms of alertness. Just kind of a brief survey beginning to end in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Watch out for divisions. You know the whole thing at the beginning of the book. Divisions, and worse than that, divisions based on in-house favoritism. I am of Rick. I am of Tim. Rather, I'm of John. No, I'm of Christ. Be of Christ. Watch out for in-house divisions. Be careful how you build on the church's foundation. In chapter 3, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, But each man must be careful how he builds upon the foundation of the church. Be careful how you do that. Don't be sloppy. Be very precise. In chapter 3, verse 18, watch out for self-deception regarding your own wisdom. Hey, I'm coming along spiritually, doing pretty well. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, that he may become wise. Careful, be careful with God's word and how you live your life according to it. Listen to Paul again in chapter 4, verse 6. That you may learn not to exceed what's written. And, of course, watch out for the toleration of gross immorality which had crept into the church. That was chapter 5 of this book. Watch out for your liberty, your own liberty. Take care of this liberty of yours that does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Take care of your liberty on behalf of somebody else, that you don't hurt somebody else. Paul also says, for though I am free of all men, I've made myself a slave to all so that I may win the more. And of course, the abuse of spiritual gifts in chapter 14. And of course, chapter 15 contains a whole discourse on the resurrection of Christ and us from the dead. And watch out for the disbelief in the resurrection. That was primary to the apostles when they were teaching in the first part of Acts. So very important doctrine for us. Huh? I mean, hope, resurrection. I'm going to die, but in Christ I will rise again. So moving on to the second one, our positioning. Stand firm in what? And he gives us a little prepositional phrase. This is sort of the rally around the flagpole part of this, right? The first part of the verse said, be alert, be awake. Be with it. Secondly, but it was be awake, watching for what? And we talked a little bit about that. This one's very clear. Stand firm in the faith. It provides the anchor. Again, it's the rally around the flag phrase for us. It's the ground on which we stand. Kind of important here to know this is not saying stand firm and be faithful. It's not stand firm in faithfulness. Rather, it's objective truth. Stand firm in the faith, this body of truth that you know from the Scriptures. Not simply be faithful. So that faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, that faith which has its many enumerated promises and warnings for us, that faith being the good news preached and received in which we stand, and that faith which gives liberty, freedom, and joy. It was freedom for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. So what was Paul saying? Had he been saying throughout the letter leading up to this point about standing firm in the faith? How about shunning the world's wisdom? Because the foolishness of God, he says in chapter 1, verse 25, is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So in chapter 2, verse 5, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Not rest on the wisdom of men, but the power of God. The third thing we must do, the way we do it, is behaving or acting like men. Tim Sheehy calls this the man up title. Man up. Paul had spoken of their immaturity in chapter 3, verse 1, saying, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. This was a grow up call. Young, old, grow up spiritually. Act like men. David Jackman's commentary says the Corinthians were in a state of arrested development. They had retarded themselves on purpose, you might say, by being slack with the doctrines, slack with their living, slack telling the truth. And then, what had Paul said about these things? Just a couple samples. Paul said, yet we do speak wisdom to those who are mature. Grow up, man up, get mature, and gain wisdom. They were acting like infants. We talked about that verse a minute ago. As to a model of godly living, guess what? Imitate the mature. Of course, imitate the man, Christ himself. But imitate, look what Paul says of himself, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. How about the maturity of knowing how to live with our various stations of life in chapter 7, whether circumcised or uncircumcised, slave or free man, choice to marry or not. There were many, many things to grow up in. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. Yet an evil, go ahead and be an infant. You want to be immature? Be immature and evil, but very mature and methodical and precise in your thinking. Be well furnished in your thinking. In your thinking, be mature. Maturity takes responsibility for him or herself, and maturity takes responsibility for others. Paul was always saying, I gotta be careful that I don't overstep my boundaries so that I make a weaker person fail. So moving on to the fourth point, which is resolving to be strong. So just saying be strong is kind of nebulous, right? So there's some history to what Paul was saying, just like these other commands. This is a particular type of strength, right? Running a race, I don't see Maciel's here, but running a race takes a particular type of physical strength and endurance. Soldiering takes a particular kind of violent, determined strength. Marriage takes a particular kind of selfless strength, doesn't it? Likewise, the spiritual war has got to be fought with a particular kind of strength. In Ephesians 6, of course, we're commanded to be strong in who? In the Lord. And William Gurnall, in his Christian in Complete Armor, says that he, Satan, is not impressed by a show of force by us. In fact, the very sight of the armor on the saint's back is like waving a red flag at him. You must have it securely fastened at every point. No chinks in your armor. No sloppy getting dressed in the morning in terms of your spiritual armor. It's an imported, derived strength. The armor isn't mine. I didn't create it. I put it on. It's a dependent strength. In fact, it's a strength when Paul commanded the Corinthians to be strong, it's a strength in a way that hides and it retreats. And you know what I mean by that. In and to Jesus. Hide, make him your bulwark, your hiding place. Hide in his under his pinion feathers. Like the Psalms tell us. Leon Morris's commentary on this verse says it very well. Be strong is passive, meaning it would be rendered to us in English, be made strong. Be made strong. The strength of Christians, further he says, is not something native or inherent in them. They derive it from God. And I think it's very dangerous for myself, at least, to take that term "be strong" on, because I tend to do a mental, flex mentally and I'll toughen up. I can't be tough enough for this battle. I can't even see the enemy. Derive my strength from knowing the particulars about God, the contours of his face, how he's painted in the scripture. What does he look like? What's his nature? How does he feel toward me in Christ? That kindness he demonstrates toward me. That I can be strong in and have guarantee of success. So in a sense, strength isn't being strong. Isaiah, I love this verse. Isaiah says in chapter 30, 15, in quietness and trust is my strength. In quietness and trust is my strength. This is plainly amplified in Psalm 62, that famous God only God psalm, where David self-counsels himself, talks to his own soul. This is what he says. Look how he builds himself up in the things of God and then gets his resolve. My soul, he says to himself, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. There's the strength, but he's reminded himself of several truths first. He has established himself, and he's run and fled to Christ. It's a dependent strength, and it's a hiding and retreating strength. And then comes determination, because you know who you're trusting. So what has Paul said about this subject? In the book previous to this final little charge, he says, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 31. In terms of deeds and words, the kingdom of God doesn't consist in words, but in power and self-rule of the man or the woman, the self-rule of yourself. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Chapter 6, verse 12. And chapter 9, verse 24 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way as to win. There's determination there, all right, but it's derived determination. And then Paul says further in chapter 9, verse 27, but I discipline my body, make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So in the Corinthian context, a way of saying this simply would be that their lack of strength, their lack of demonstrated strength, and go back and review the book, it's there, allowed for the church to tolerate gross moral conduct, sin, doctrinal error in that church. Paul's wrapping it up. Love, which is the next part of the fifth command in our discussion, should not be misapplied with us in terms of niceness and today's tolerance for just any old doctrine that happens to come along our way. We've got to put error away and be strong in truth. So this brings me to the next major point, which is the next verse, verse 14. And this is the way we do it. The previous four commands, the what we do. The fifth command is the way we do it. I guess I could have gone through just five simple commands, but in reading this, to me, this love that he talks about is the driving factor, it's the engine, it's the motivator for us, the way we do it. So all is to be done. Everything you do, do it in love. It's the engine, it's the bottom of what you do. Everything oozes out of that. All be done with a covering of love. In love equals the posture of the alertness, the posture of the firm standing, the acting like men and the strength. It's not an afterthought. It's the leaven, in a good way, that leavens the whole lump of dough. It should permeate everything we do. What had Paul said about this? Do all in love. Dispense with favoritism, the old, you know, I'm of Apollos and all that at the beginning of the book. How to handle marriage and the difficulties therein is in the book here. Or be your brother's keeper. Take care of this liberty of yours that does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. There's an act of love. I'll give up my personal liberty so that I don't make one of you trip. Chapter 13, of course, being the pinnacle, the love chapter, Paul had already shown them the fix for their disunity, the panacea for their disunity, a more excellent way. I will show you, he says, a more excellent way, and he launches into the love chapter. So I'll summarize and close this off. And so as a personal confession, I can study this. I can tell myself to be alert and all the attributes that come with alertness, and I can tell myself to stand firm in the faith. I can further tell myself to rise up and act like a man in the faith, and I can tell myself to be strong and to act in love. I can parse this out and put it on paper and talk to you a little bit about it, but it has to be translated from, you know, my fingers on the keyboard typing it into my heart to live it. So this week, this very week, was probably one of the toughest things that ever happened in my career. And I spent a good deal of one night this week awake. You can imagine different things keep you awake at night. And I was trying to translate this off the page into me. You know, you got to draw it up and out of the page and install it in your heart. Coming along with that, I don't know that I've arrived, but I do find strength in this. I do find strength in these commands, and I do find help from the Lord. So, in closing, first of all, close the gap between hearing, knowledge, and application. Close the gap between hearing, knowledge, and application. This is what makes us, my friend Phil, we were talking about, you know, let's live these things, these great and high doctrines that we talk about. So in closing, be alert. How? How do we be alert? Know and apply the word daily. Details and doctrine do matter. Number two, standing firm in the faith, stand on what? The promises and God's warnings. God's good promises and God's good warnings. And the encouragements. Three, act like men. But what does that mean? Well, it means grow up according to Christ and those he's appointed to lead you. Imitate them. And of course, imitate him. Be strong. How? How do I be strong? By hiding and retreating to Christ. As Rick or Tim will often say, flee to Christ. That's urgency. And I think urgency matters here. And finally, of course, in terms of being strong, in quietness and especially trust. Trust him, trust him, trust him. I think what finally put me to sleep the other night was just repeating, I must trust you. I'm not feeling a little vulnerable right now in this particular situation. So quietness and trust is my strength. In quietness and trust is my strength. And then do all with a motivation and root cause of love. So all of these five crisp little commands require the following. Knowledge and exactness from the Word of God. You must have knowledge and exactness from the Word of God, not just generic thoughts of God. The second thing is the indwelling Holy Spirit. Can't do it by myself. That's plain from the Word of God. That's plain from what Rick is teaching out of Romans. And then finally, your full diligence. All in. Get all in. We've only got a short time here. It's not that long. And he makes it good. So I'll close with that. Let's pray. Our Savior, thank you for your many promises, your many encouragements. Thank you for what Paul wrote to us. Thank you for letting us dissect your word. It interprets itself. It helps us to understand the most rudimentary and yet the most complex things of life. And we're grateful for being able to hear it, understand it, read it, ponder it, and apply it because of your Holy Spirit. Again, thank you for this time together. And I pray that you bless us as we go out this week to live these things. In Christ's name, amen.